This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 at 15, and Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, as I can attest to, with great warranties, which I can attest to. Fabulous service department that backs it all up every step of the way. Great pre-owned inventory on top of everything else. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Memorial Day weekend is always a great time to tour the lot. Take a look at the pre-owned inventory, the new inventory, and take care of it. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Now, one thing that does happen sometimes with these projects, let me go back to the Breslin Center for a moment. You go to the Breslin Center, it's chair back. Okay, the bottom part, to be honest with you, the Breslin Center, they actually, like, a couple parts were built wrong, and they were able to easily correct it. All right? There used to be, if you're looking on TV, mid-court, you're looking at the center of the floor, the visitor's bench, which would be Penn State to the right and Michigan State to the left. Well, there used to be no seats in the lower middle part because that was the entrance way for the teams and also the way to get back to the media room and so forth. I remember looking at it thinking, no seats at mid-court. I'm talking, now this is at the very bottom. I said, no seats at mid-court. Who thought about this? This one. Well, then they retrofit the bottom, and they made that all bleachers because that's now the I-zone. Everything above it is chairbacks, except for the last five rows, which are bleachers. Same thing at Thompson Bowling Arena at Tennessee. It's 24,000 seats. They said they had to have 1,000 more seats than Rupp, so it's 24,000. The last 10 rows at Thompson Bowling are bleachers. Now, why? Well, we kind of ran out of money, so we'll put the bleachers in. Okay, good. That's what they did at both Breslin and at Thompson Bowling. Okay. So, just a couple notes. Go ahead, Todd.
I was going to say, I was going to go with, like, you know, to squeeze more people in, but it's, I should know the easy answer is always money.
Yeah, it's in the end, it's really about cash.
Yes.
now, look, it the number is somewhat mind-blowing at $630 million. I've got that part. I got it. Totally get it. But there's a big difference between what Penn State's doing and what the pros have done. PNC Park, Acrisure Stadium, The Link, Citizens Bank Park. All big projects. And what did all the big projects have in common?
Taxpayer funding.
State money. Yep. State money being in it. And were all of those projects essentially needed? I mean, yeah, they were. I mean, you can't keep playing in the Vet and Three River Stadium. Really? I mean, really? You can do it. But remember, what did I say? Passable, right? Three River Stadium was passable. The Vet was passable. But it's not Citizens Bank Park and PNC Park and Akershire Stadium and the Link, right? I mean, they're not even in the same realm. Yeah. Now, do you always get bang for your buck? Well, I'll give you two places. Yankee Stadium is $1.5 billion. They started playing there in 2009. $1.5 billion. So Penn State was there working out for the Pinstripe Bowl. This is 2014, so at this point the stadium is 5 years old. All right. Well, they're in there working out, which of course gives me the ability to walk essentially anywhere I want to. So during like stretch and things like that, I don't think I have to watch stretch. All right. You know, just like running around, stretching, things like that, the opening part. I kind of walked around as many places as I could at Yankee Stadium. And to be honest with you, it's okay. It's like, all right. Okay. I mean, I'm talking, I went into luxury suites. I went down and, you know, into the Yankee clubhouse, you know, all that's everything. You know, the monument area, the whole deal. Okay. It was fine. It was good. It was very, very good. Now I did the Cotton Bowl at Jerry World, which was a little bit more than $1.3 billion, which, of course, includes the roof. You could say what you want about Jerry Jones. That dude got his money's worth. That is quite the facility. I mean, are there some wasted space areas in it? Yeah. But, man, that is quite the facility.
I think it's two summers ago when the Cowboys were the Hard Knocks team.
Yeah.
Did you see the drone footage of them flying through the facility that opened the one episode?
I never have watched Hard Knocks. Shannon, I'm sorry. Shannon Furman, who is a good friend, she is one of the lead producers on that. Okay, she is. Shannon, I've seen a couple parts, but no, I don't. But take me through it.
Well, I was going to say, they opened one of the episodes where they just flew a drone through the Cowboys facilities for about 3 minutes, and it's beautiful. I mean, there's a literal high school football an indoor high school football stadium in their facility.
In Frisco. This is the one in Frisco, Texas.
Oh, yeah. They're showing Frisco. I guess that isn't Jerry World. I just always assumed they were kind of interconnected.
No. No, they have their own facility in Frisco.
Well, he didn't get cheated on his facility in Frisco either.
No. You know what? And, by the way, Penn State baseball beat Illinois today in the opening game of the Big Ten tournament, 8-4.
Wow.
So, opening game, Big Ten tournament, Penn State, the number 8 seed, beat the number 1 seed, Illinois, 8-4. So, I know we got severe thunderstorms.
Yeah.
Oh. I can hear that in the back.
It must be.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's raining. It's raining here.
Now, of course it is. I have a game in 2 hours.
Well, during the news break, I went out and covered the outdoor furniture. So I said, here it comes.
Well, I guess who's going out to roll his windows up at the next break?
Go out now. Go out and do it now. I'll talk.
Okay.
Just let me know when you get back. Go out. Do it. Jeez. It's two of us here. Doug Birdsong texted me. And he says he remembers when Soika was being built. He says the plan was to include a pulley system for the center-hung scoreboard. Because of cost, that was cut. Now, whenever anything needs to be done on the scoreboard, a lift has to be rented. Okay? Interesting. I mean, things happen along the way. But, you know what? If you're going to... Sports is a business. And I think that's a point I've tried to make on this show over and over again. I realize, you know, and Kevin Herr and I kid around about this. a lot. Kevin, and he'll be the first to admit it, so I'm not talking out of turn here. He'll tell you that to him, sports is, you know, like the open, the glory of it, the anticipation, the event. Okay? Everybody knows I love sports. I mean, it is so great for me. I get to broadcast football. I get to broadcast basketball. I get to broadcast baseball. Oh, right? And I love the games. I love the games. I'll leave other jobs. I'm not leaving the play-by-play jobs. No way. People keep asking, when are you going to retire? I go, retire? What, from this? What, are you kidding me? Come on. But there's also a bottom line to it, though, that affects what your experience. And that is the money part. And that's why we talk so often about it. This facility project that they've talked about, right? You know what? You have one chance to do it right. Do it right. Do it right. You could have band-aided the place, because they've been band-aiding the place now for at least a dozen years. Okay? Band-aid here, band-aid there, band-aid here, band-aid there. They've done enough to make sure, because it gets inspected, they've done enough to make sure it passes inspection and so forth. All right. And you could have done a massive band-aid to it, but the price tag on the massive band-aid probably still would have been $250 million. Okay. Does $630 million to make it a total of $700 million sound daunting? Of course it sounds daunting. But guess what? I think you've got one chance to do it and do it right. What are your expectations? Okay? Your expectations. And to all business people out there, Tom Mertz, what are your expectations? Okay? Well, Sunbury Motors, he has big expectations. That's why they're such a great dealership. Penn's Tavern, he has great expectations. That's why Penn's Tavern's a huge success. And Tom's taking chances. He's taking chances. Look at the Purdy family. Okay, the Purdy family. And with Tom, of course, you know, we have to include, you know, all the great work that Corey and everybody at Brewers Outlet does. But look at Purdy Insurance. Built that business from scratch. Right? And there are times along the way they've taken chances. Right? You have one chance to do it right. Do it right. You're not going to regret doing it right. You're not going to regret that. Okay? Now, I realize Pagula was a total donation from Kim and Terry, and, you know, and they, you know, there was a little more they needed at the end, and they kicked that in too. Everything at Pagula is done right. It's done right. The University of Minnesota. I mean, I have seen stadiums, okay, change. All right. But they did it before Penn State did it. I remember when Ohio State put, I think it was like $180 million into the horseshoe. But they did it in 2001 or something like that. And I remember Jack Ham and I sitting there in the stadium in like 2002, I think, right around there. And I remember saying to Jacks, you know, they got a lot for their $180 million. This looks really good. You know, they took the south end zone, they extended it way up, new scoreboard, the whole thing. Okay? That's not what that stadium looked like. The track used to be inside that stadium. Okay? They took the track out, they lowered the field, they expanded, they took it up, took care of the, you know, did a lot of renovation on the upper deck there. I mean, a lot of things. Michigan. Right? Michigan Stadium doesn't look anything today like it looked like when I first broadcast games there. Michigan is in the ground. Let's start with that. It's in the ground. And on the State Street side, they had it was colored Michigan blue, the press box. And yeah, I mean, you know, did you have to take an elevator? You didn't have to go that far. Press box wasn't that high there off the street. Well, now they've got like luxury seating on both sides, suites on both sides, the press box. I remember when they were building it, they built the luxury suite around the press box, and the press box was the last thing they imploded. and brought it down and then finished that part in the off season. They built around it. Okay, so I remember doing a game at Michigan in that box. Well, everything was being built around it. I'm going, okay. I've been to Texas before Texas. Okay, Texas didn't have 100,000 seats in 1989. I was the third announcer then. And I'm down there. I'm like, okay. Well, look at Texas today. I was the third announcer when Penn State went to Bryant Denny in 84, 86, and 90. 88, they played at Legion Field. Okay. 84, 86, and 90. Bryant Denny Stadium in those years, right, looked exactly like Beaver Stadium used to look. Pre-luxury suites. When I went back in 2010 with Jack and we did that game in 2010, 101,000, completely different. Because they upgraded it, renovated, luxury suites, box, the whole deal, right? Right? Everything. Notre Dame was the third announcer going there. When I went there, I didn't go in 82, right? But I went there in 84, 86, 88, 90, and 92. Okay, 59,075, right, every time. When I went back to do a game there in 2006, whoa. All new box, different looking stadium, everything. Looked great what they did. Okay? So I've seen stadiums change and evolve. Last time I went to USC, the track was still in the stadium. Okay, track's not in the Coliseum anymore. And they've got a whole new box set, which I'm anxious to see what that looks like. But I've seen other stadiums change. The difference is they changed before Penn State did. Before Penn State did. See, Pitt and Temple don't have this. They're renters. Right? And so now Penn State's in the spot to do it. And again, what are your expectations? Well, Alabama, Notre Dame, Texas, Michigan. Okay? All those places, right? They have expectations. They've built their stadium to their expectations. Well, Penn State has great expectations, and this stadium has been functional in getting them as part of the expectations. Now this is to try and take care of the next 30 years. That's what this is about. And if you're going to do it right. And I think the plan that they have, we'll all have to find out. It's like a recruiting class. We won't know how the recruiting class is until 5 years later, right? Well, we won't know until over time whether or not. But I'd rather go this route than keep going the Band-Aid route.
I think the same people that are complaining about the stadium project are probably also the same people that would complain about a 7-5 season too.
Right, but you know what? But Todd, I have no issue with anybody asking the questions.
No,
I have no qualms at all when somebody says, "Well, how are you going to pay for it?" Well, okay, that's worthy of an answer, right? All right, could you do it for less money? That's worthy of an answer, right? So these are all questions that are well worth asking, worthy of answers. And I don't. And people who didn't vote yes on it, that's fine. I completely understand it. That's all right. I understand where they're coming from. Well, I also understand based on, everybody has the different life experience, but based on my life experience, right, guess what? You don't get anywhere in terms of status quo. There are moments where you got to look around and say, you know what? Time to go for it. Right? Time to go for it. It's like you're three strokes back in the Masters, you're playing the 12th hole. Guess what? Yeah, the conservative play is to put it to the center of the green. Guess what? I'm not going to win. I can finish second or 20th. What's the difference? I'm going to take out 9 or 10 iron, whatever it may be. And guess what? Bingo. I'm going to go for it. Hey, if I miss it, I miss it. My object is I need to hit the flag here. Right?
Yes.
And so at some point, I know that's a golf analogy, and this is, but at some point you got to go for it. And Beaver Stadium has been tremendous. But here's the other part too about Beaver Stadium. Remember this: There are parts of Beaver Stadium, 30,000 seats of them, exactly 30,000 seats, that are 90 years old. Because remember, they brought over the existing 30,000 seat structure from the west end of campus in 1960. Oh. Okay. That's 30,000 seats. They're 90 years old. The rest, the other parts are 64 years old. Okay. The press box is in the 64-year-old range. Okay. Now let's get to the other parts. Okay. The cantilever deck on the north end is now 33 years old. The south end is now 23 years old. The concrete on the bottom and the concrete that makes up the lower part of the south end zone is 46 years old. 46. Like, I don't think I think all of us have watched Beaver Stadium grow up to get to the point where it's 107,000. We've watched it grow up and may not have realized over time, like even the concrete on the bottom, that's the south end zone and the lower part of the stadium, that's now 46 years old. Because that happened in 1978. I mean, like, holy cow, really? The cantilever deck's 33 years old. South end zone's 23 years old. Luxury suites on the opposite side from the press box are 23 years old. Okay, I mean, and by the way, the south end and the suites on the east side are all in great shape. I mean, so that's not even a part of this. I mean, they're 23 years old. There's no need to do anything to either one of those areas. They're in really good shape. But, like, even the cantilever deck in the north end, 33 years old. Concrete, 46 years old. Press box, I don't know. When did Penn State football start? 1887? That may have been when they first did that. No, I'm just kidding.
It sways sometimes like it is.
Well, I remember one time Penn State was playing Ohio State. It was 2005, and they started doing Zombie Nation, and the press box started to move a little bit.
Oh, I was there, my friend.
And Jack, we're in a commercial break, and Jack looks over at me and says, "Hey, Steve, are we okay?" I says, "Geez, Jack, I'm an announcer, not an engineer." I said, "Not a clue." I said, I can't help you on that.
I'll never. It was Tomba Ali that had the sack in that game, right?
Yes, Tomba Ali forced the fumble of Troy Smith. Scott Paxton recovered.
Yes, I will. That's when that play happened. That is the loudest and most shaking I have ever been anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, interest rates are where they are now. I understand that. Interest rates have derailed other plans. There's one business here in town that was set to expand, and they've delayed it because of how high the interest rates are. But at some point, you have to do it. You can level the whole thing and do it for $2 billion. Well, you know what? If you're going to do something like this for a huge operation, which is what Penn State football is, I say, you know what? Do it and do it right the first time.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, final half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, boat, motorcycle, RV, lots of insurance needs. And they will handle it all. Great people who believe deeply in customer service, which means they rally around you. They'll also do everything they can to save you money. It's all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. By the way, the NFL draft is going to go to Pittsburgh in 2026. I can see Point State Park right there being used as the venue. I can see that. Yeah. Next year goes to Green Bay, but Pittsburgh gets the NFL draft in 26. So Pittsburgh back-to-back. This will be three straight years big events. First two rounds NCAA tournament. Next year is the U.S. Open at Oakmont. And then in 26, the NFL draft. Incredible. Big 12 unanimously says yes to the House versus the NCAA settlement. ACC says yes to the House versus the NCAA settlement. Right? By tomorrow, the Pac-12 and USC and UCLA will vote in the Pac-12. They're still members of that conference. The Pac-12, the SEC, the NCAA Board of Governors, and the Big Ten all expected to ratify by tomorrow, and then that changes everything in sports. Tomorrow's the day. All right. Do we have Brian?
We do have Brian.
Hello, Brian. How are you, buddy? Great to hear from you.
I'm doing great, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thanks.
Well, I wanted to say thank you so much for speaking out in support of the Beaver Stadium renovation project. I know there's a lot of concerns about the cost of it, and as a proud Penn State alum and Nittany Lion Club member, I want us to be don't be reckless and be careful with our money. But there's a certain point where I'm glad you raised about the expectations and how our facilities present ourselves to the rest of the country, especially with the expanded Big Ten membership and things of that nature. I really think one thing that you've kind of touched on, but I've been waiting on university leadership to really come out on for a long time now, is come out and say, we are Penn State. If we're going to do something, it's going to be world class. We are going to be top of the heap. We are not going to cut corners, and we're not going to be cheap. We want everybody to know that we're committed to excellence. And not to borrow a Raiders slogan, but that's important. And whether it's in academic pursuits, academic departments, things of that nature, anything we do athletically, if the Penn State name is going to be on it, it better be world class. Because otherwise you're saying we're going to take half measures and we're just happy to be there. I'm just not happy to be there on the field. I want to be able to compete for championships. I remember all the glory that Joe brought and a lot of the success we've had over the years, but we've fallen behind in facilities, we've fallen behind in other areas, and we're always playing catch-up. And I wish Penn State would say, we are committed to excellence in everything, academic, in athletics. We're going to make a smart investment, and we're going to do it the right way. but we're here to compete, and we're throwing down the gauntlet. End of story.
Well, Brian, well, first of all, thanks for the kind words. Number one, I want Penn State, as somebody who has been here and committed a lot of time over the last 46 years of my life here, you know, and even before that, you know, I guess we can go back 48 years from my freshman year in school. I want Penn State to be number one in everything it does. I want Penn State to be the number one engineering school. I want Penn State to be the number one chemistry school. I want Penn State to be the number one business school. I want Penn State to be number one in the College of Communications. I want Penn State to be number one in football. I want Penn State to be number one in basketball. We already know number one in wrestling. Certain things in life are givens. you know, but I want them to be number one in everything they do. Everything. So do everything you can within your means to be number one. And the one thing you can't afford to do in this environment is wait. Waiting brings with it even more expense later. And I said this back in 2017, as you know, Brian, when this came up, I said, you need to do it sooner rather than later. It's going to get more expensive. So I said it 7 years ago. And this is, I always use the Olympics as an example. The biggest problem the Olympics has with profitability is that when they do the bids, they're factoring in 7 years, because they'll bid 7 years before the Olympiad. Well, everything changes price-wise in 7 years, and you're trying to guess what it's going to be. And that's why they always have cost overruns. Well, the longer you wait on anything, the more expensive it's going to be. And you would need $200 million, maybe even to 250, to Band-Aid the stadium, where it would be fine and up and structurally great and the whole deal. I got it. Or you can go for it. Well, doggone it, go for it. Hey, you got one shot. Do it right, you know, and get it right, because we are Penn State and we can make this work.
Oh, absolutely. We have a fan base that loves the university, that's committed to the university. And I think that if the university sends the right signals, if leadership sends the right signals, that we are really fully committed, we're all in, we're going to be committed to legitimately competing for championships perennially, the money will come. And it's also wise to have that magnificent venue used for many other things, whether it's concerts, the beer festival, things like that. There's a lot of outside-the-box opportunities for the stadium to create once-in-a-lifetime kind of experiences for fans of all kind of levels. And I think it would be great to do that because everybody recognizes Beaver Stadium. And I would say, you know, if we don't do that and if we just Band-Aid it or allow things to fall into disrepair, fan interest will wane. People don't necessarily want to go to some of these places where you don't have good, you know, better restroom facilities, better concessions, things of that nature. They'll say, well, I'll just sit at home and watch TV because I got a big screen TV rather than go to the stadium. You know, there have been places, you know, for example, Florida State, they're reducing the size of their stadium by 10 to 15,000. Their fan interest is waning. And I think, like you said, if Penn State just says we're committed, we're going all in, and we're going to be giving a better experience to our fan base, I just think it all the money, they'll pay it off and then some. It'll be very profitable.
And that's
thank you for speaking out in support of it, sir.
Thank you so much, Brian. I really appreciate that. But I believe in what they're doing. I believe this is the right thing to do, and I've always been a believer. And again, part of this is your opinions are always based on either your upbringing, your background, and so forth. But I grew up in a family where, you know, they had their own business, right? Sheet metal fabrication, and I knew the chances that my parents took. Right? Did every single one of them pay off? No, but the vast majority did, and you have to have some guts to do it. Well, I think what they're doing here is smart.
Yep.
I think it's gutsy. Is there? Okay. The price tag is big. So let's not pretend. And anybody, Brian, who asked the question, whether it's a trustee, an alumnus, or a fan of the program, that asked the question, well, how are you going to pay for it? What about the finances? What about the ability to keep the venue going 360? Those are all really good questions that are entitled to have answers. So I have no problem with the questions. Zero. Because that's just being a good supporter of the program to ask questions. Because everybody deserves to have answers, especially with something of this magnitude. And I think they've come up with really good answers, and I think that they have a chance to really make this work. This is a 30-year thought process. This is not something you're like, going, in 2028, oh, man, I don't know if we should have done this or not. Oh, please. Okay, just give it some time.
And if anything, history has taught us, don't bet against Penn State. Believe in Penn State. And we'll come through the other side in far better shape than we were before.
No question, Brian. No. Well said.
Thank you, Brian. Steve. You take care.
Thank you, Brian.
Great job as always. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Brian from Northern Virginia. And there are going to be people that might call the show and say, and I understand. It's a big number. That's a big number. You know, they approve it, and you know, they already have the $70 million, which they've been working on anyway. They've been doing work on the stadium the entire time. They've been winterizing it and so forth. So the work has actually been, they've been doing work on it since the end of last season. But now it's the additional $630 million. Yeah, that's where we are. Now, tomorrow will be the big change in college sports. It's going to take them 6 months once everybody... Look, this is not an extensive document. This goes back, I've talked about the grant of rights. It's 5 to 8 pages. Same thing with this settlement. This settlement, House versus the NCAA, is 13 pages long. That's all it is.
Hey, Steve.
Yes.
Dick from Milton's on the line.
Hey, Dick, how are you today? Great to have you with us.
I'm good, Steve. It's warm out. Three quick things, and I'm going to hang up.
Sure.
I listened to your Steve Jones interview the other day with us, with our Steve Klein interview.
Yes.
And I wanted to tell you, his dad used to go down to spring training when he was with Cleveland, and I said, what'd you do all day? He said, I'd have coffee every morning with Bob Feller, which I thought was kind of interesting, kind of neat. I mean, how'd you like to sit around with Bob Feller in the morning and drink coffee?
That's something else. That would be, wow, that's a wild thing.
So my other thing on the stadiums, we used to follow Penn State all over, you know, Northwestern, everywhere, Illinois, Purdue. Mm-hmm. And I was going to tell you, Michigan is, I'll never go back. They couldn't pay me to go to Michigan again because all this, everything, you have to go to the top to get out to go to the restroom or to get the food or a drink.
Yes.
And they put the Penn State students at the very bottom, and they stood like they do at Beaver Stadium, which means you had to stand for the whole damn football game, literally, to watch the game.
Yeah.
And it was the most miserable experience of the football game. So I would never go back to Michigan ever. And we were at Notre Dame when they filmed Rudy, which I thought was kind of interesting also.
Yeah, I was there that day too, yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, you did the game. But it was kind of, that was my things on stadiums. But there's, are they going to spend money? I'm sure it'll go through, you know, to 2027 or 2020, something like that, 3 years. At 80 years old, who knows if I'll get back up ever get to see that. I might see it, but I might not watch a football game there. I mean, if they finish it, I'd probably go up just to see it, how nice it is. And we'll see what happens down the road.
Yeah, it should be the opener in 2027, which sounds like it's a long way off. In reality, it isn't. But that's when it'll have the grand opening, August of 2027. So
I started going to football games in like 1966 at Beaver Stadium, and I saw Mike Reed and Smear and all those guys, and some of the best football, most famous football players in the history of Penn State.
Yeah,
and I've gone through the years. I've seen lots and lots and lots of them. I mean, I wish everybody could have seen all these guys play because on film or whatever, it's not like being there in person. It just isn't.
No question, Dick. I agree with you. That's exactly. I feel the same way. It's when you see somebody in person, you have a greater appreciation of who they actually are, which is something.
Well, they have a heck of a history.
Yes.
When, you know, I forget how many seats were there when I first went. Might have been 30,000 or 40,000.
I think it was 46,000, Dick, in 66.
About what it was. I'd say it wasn't 50,000 and it wasn't 107,000. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, it's still a lot of people. They filled it back then, pretty much, you know.
Well,
it was so long ago that I think Schwartzwalder was coaching at Syracuse.
Yeah, he was, and you probably looked out at Beaver Stadium. The track was still in there.
Yeah.
You probably looked out, and all you had in the south end was that big scoreboard that was on scaffolding. It looked like back in the day, because there were no seats there. Maybe some bleachers. They threw temporary bleachers in the end zone.
I don't recall that. I just remember the football was excellent.
Yeah.
The actual games. I mean, you look at the Penn State Hall of Fame football players. It was excellent football. It really was some of the best players ever.
No,
especially on defense.
No question. Yeah. No, I mean,
in fact, it was Paterno. It was the beginning of Paterno's career there at that time. You know,
right.
Obviously,
yeah.
It was a change in the coaching at that mid-60s. I think I don't know what year it was. He started.
Joe's first season was 66, so Rip's last season was 65.
Yeah. Anyhow, well, we'll see what happens down the road. As I say, it's only been announced in a day or two, so we'll see what kind of feedback it gets. There's going to be some people unhappy and some people really happy.
Very fair, Dick. That's very fair on your part. Yeah, I agree with you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve. Be good.
Thank you, Dick. Be good. Yeah, and hey, look, this will take time, you know, and then we'll all see. But again, I'm the type that has always been, you know what, you're going to do something? Do it right. And do it right the first time. Right? As you're doing the thing, don't have regrets over it. Just, okay? You're committed to it, do it. Right? And this, you know, and a lot of this is, it's not just like, hey, you bring a recruit. Like, just looking at the couple of renderings, you're like, whoa. Recruiting wise, whoa, wow. But I will also say that when you're talking about more escalators, more elevators, more bathrooms, more concessions, more options, okay, some better seating options and so forth, that's all about you. And sure, does it include the press box? Yeah, it includes the press box. We're trying to get at them to get the naming rights after the suit, but that's... No, not a good move, Todd.
I would bet he's all right. I don't think they would care too much as long as the money's good.
Yeah. So, by the way, just so you know, the NCAA Board of Governors is scheduled to meet today, right, on this house settlement. The Big Ten presidents are going to meet in person and vote this week as part of the regularly scheduled meeting. The ACC's already voted. They said yes. The Big 12 voted unanimously. The SEC will meet tomorrow, I think. Now, the odd twist in this is the Pac-12. They actually have to vote. The 10 departing programs actually will not vote in the conferences they join next year. They will vote as Pac-12 members, because the Pac-12 was part of the lawsuit. So they have to vote. Interesting twist. But the Big Ten presidents, they have meetings this week. They're going to vote in person. The ACC did it virtually. I'm sorry. The Big 12 did it virtually. The ACC presidents already had their meetings in Charlotte, so they voted done on both those parts. The Big 10 presidents are meeting in person, so they're just going to vote as part of the regular meeting. There you go. All right. A lot of people to talk to tomorrow. And looking forward to that. As we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, this half hour brought to you by the great people at Purdy Insurance.
Sunbury Motors Ford and North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their spring SUV sales event. SMC has 17 of the iconic 2024 Ford Bronco Sports, and they are slashed up to $5,500. And they start from just $28,435. Sunbury Motors has the fuel-efficient Ford Escape discounted up to $4,000 and priced from only $29,935. Plus, qualified buyers get 0% financing. Choose from 28 new Ford Explorers, and SMC has them reduced to the lowest price ever offered. Just $39,770. Sunbury Motors has the roomy and reliable 2024 Ford Edge discounted $4,500, and they are priced from only $37,565. With 0% financing for 48 months, Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealership, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. SMC is where you want to be in May for your next new SUV.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.